Leading off with the big story of the day, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and Dina.
Oh, man, welcome to it. Happy Juneteenth. Happy Friday. Happy summer. Happy U.S. Open. Tyler, we're... Wow, man, it's weird to, like, you turn on the TV and it looks like they're in Scotland or something. Where,
Where? They're in San Diego, buddy.
That's San Diego. Well...
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Out in San Diego. I played that course. Shot a 93. it actually, I was kind of proud of that 93.
I bet. What course is it?
Torrey Pines North.
Oh, Torrey Pines. Okay.
Or Wayways. That's south. I think it's north. North, right?
No. Well, I'm not really sure. There's Phil. He doesn't care about it. It's pretty cool there. You know what's interesting? I a couple of years ago, we were lucky enough.
Bunch of hang gliders hanging out there. There's a little cliff where they all jump off. Also, a beach underneath there that is a little bit questionable whether you should attend that beach or not. You probably would love hanging out there.
Why?
Well, it's kind of like a clothing optional type of deal.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That'd be my jam.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now I would like hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
Last year would not have been good.
Yeah.
But now, I got my tattoo and everything.
I barely got to watch any of this. It's been killing me because I spent my entire morning at a swim meet. That's what I've been doing today, buddy.
How was that?
Well, it was phenomenal. My daughters are both kicking butt and swim. Got up at crack of dawn, set the alarm for 6 a.m., got there, was at the pool by 7 a.m., 10 a.m., the kids had had about three events each, and they're only about halfway to go. Had to call in my dad for some relief, get somebody out there. Ran into an old friend that I grew up with. I don't know if you know this about me or not, D-Mac, but I am a state champion in swimming.
I knew you did swimming. I didn't know you were a state champion.
Well, D-Mac,
you want to give us some details on that?
If I competed in a sport, I probably won it. So, you know, I did compete in swimming for a little bit. Backstroke state champion. I got.
Oh, wait, hold on. Time out. What does that mean? Like, what age are you a state champion in? What are you talking about?
That was 10 and under. Yeah.
10 and under. And there is a state, like, for all the 10 and unders in the entire state.
Got the trophy.
Seriously?
Well, it was like all the, kind of folks with a couple bucks league. It was the country club league.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right.
So you were the...
It was like the Cherry Creek High School type of league, right?
You were the... But it was a state thing, not a regional thing.
Correct.
It was all the rich kids in the entire state.
Yeah. Then I had the whole IM that I had to compete in, and I got second place, and I've got a photo from me on the podium, and I was crying on the podium because I got second place, not first place.
You're a good loser.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Good.
That's right.
You learned.
Yeah, got that
the right way.
Ran into there was this girl in my pool growing up that absolutely just dominated, phenomenal swimmer, and ran into her today. At the opponent's club. And so naturally her daughter was facing off against my daughter and just started talking trash all day long. You know, we had some kids trash talk.
Swimming. Like, what do you mean? Like, what does that sound like?
Well, it started out all fun. Like, hey, how old's your daughter? Oh, my daughter's the same age.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what heat is your daughter going to be in? Oh, my daughter's in the same heat. Oh, what event is she competing in? Oh, my daughter's doing freestyle also.
Okay.
Which one's your daughter? Oh, my daughter's in first. That's lane one over there. You know, the lane where she's going to end up dominating your daughter. That's the lane that my daughter's in.
Those words came out of your mouth?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
yeah.
And her response?
It actually, you know, I don't know if it was this 6'8", like, giant dude that was talking trash to a
smaller person?
A smaller, very pretty female that, I don't know if that people didn't like that conversation.
Were you starting to attract some attention?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, because by the time I started talking trash and the kids got in the water and now I was threatening my child to not wouldn't have food at home if she didn't win, people were staring. I don't know why.
Okay. Where does the trash talk in youth swimming really pick up?
Well, that's...
During the race? After the race?
Oh, no. It's all fun and friendly until you get to the race.
And then what?
Middle of the race, you start yelling, and you start yelling at your daughter, like, you better pick this up.
The parents are yelling at their kids while their kids' heads are in water.
Yeah, because that kid's mom dominated, like, all the boys, including me, when growing up. And so I had a little bit of spite towards her. Felt like I needed my child to, I needed to live vicariously through her. Okay. My child dominated her child, you know, something like that. So, yeah, get in the water, just, yeah, trash talk begins, and start staring. I had the lady that had the stopwatch. She turns around to me, and she had that, like, kind of awkward smile on her face, like, where she was staring at me, like, is this guy, like, for real, or is he, like, is this funny, or is it, should I be worried? Mm-hmm. What's going on right now? I'm like, oh, she's an old friend. Old friend, don't worry about it.
She's a pal.
She's a pal.
She's my buddy.
Yeah, she's a pal.
Can the kids, you gotta just forgive me on this, cause I just have never been to a kid's swim meet. I never have. This is one of the things I just have never done.
Yeah.
Does it help the kids that the parents are screaming at them while they're swimming?
No. So, I actually, despite today's trash talk event, which was all fun and games, I do not yell when my kids are in the water. However, my sweet lovely wife does.
She does.
She does. Yeah.
Okay. And what types of things are yelled at the kid while their head's in the water?
When I'm not at the event, if my wife takes videos and she sends it to me, I watch the video and I hear my wife, like every other parent that is there, and she's like, come on, Lynn, kick, swim, come on, you're almost there, let's go, kick, faster. I'm like, oh my gosh, why are you yelling?
Right, because logically, would the kid know, they know they are supposed to kick.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way you can swim, right?
I mean, can I tell you how dominating my daughter was today?
Sure, yeah, of course.
She jumps in the water. She forgets what stroke she was supposed to be doing.
Sure.
She didn't know if it was breaststroke,
I'm amazed
if it was freestyle.
She's just not drowning out there. That's incredible to me.
Didn't know what it was. Jumps in the water, just starts floating for a second, starts looking around, trying to figure out what stroke she was supposed to do. Looking at the other kids who have now got like at least a 6-8 foot lead on them.
Right.
She realizes, oh, it's breaststroke time.
Okay. Now I got it.
Yeah. Let's turn on that little engine, right?
And so from a dead stop,
just sitting there floating in the water, treading water, turns on that engine. She actually gets out by now. She's about 3/4 of the way down the lane. And now she's like slows down and she starts picking up her head, turning her head around and looking at all the other kids. And I'm like, Lydia, look forwards and just go.
Uh-huh.
Like, I know you got this thing under control. I don't know if she felt bad trying to let the kids back into it or what. She did win, but I had a little conversation with her, like, hey, listen.
You did?
I did, yeah.
Was it surrounding just, like, let's get a hot dog or something?
Hey, first off, if you ever jump in that water again and you don't know what stroke you have, no dinner. Like, look, this is not playtime. When competition is on, it's time to compete.
So she didn't win enough.
I'm proud of you for being able to dominate from behind. But if you were ever that unfocused again, there will be consequences at home. The lovey is getting taken away. You don't get to sleep with lovey tonight. No lovey tonight.
And this is your middle. By the way,
once you get that lead, don't be concerned about all those other slappies that are behind you. They're not Palumpuses.
Bury them.
So go.
Yeah.
Stop looking around.
Don't feel bad for them.
Go.
Yeah.
Put your head underwater and go.
So just for the record, today's swim meet was way more intense than things were at for the Broncos yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And your younger daughter who's 5, I can't even believe 5-year-olds can even swim.
Younger daughter, 5 years old, gets in the water. She got second place, which is kind of like...
Are you all right with that?
Well, it was like, I guess I'll feed you, but you're not getting dessert. So... You know, I'll give you some food tonight, but when everybody else asks for ice cream, you know, maybe go downstairs and do some push-ups or something.
I feel your pain, Tyler. My 18-year-old daughter is a swimmer. 18 years of that. Well, I mean, they started 5, so 13 years of that.
Can I just tell you, seriously, like, joking aside, you show up at the crack of dawn, and you wait around for hours for them to do, like, 4 or 5 events. Hours.
Yeah.
You get out of there by lunchtime. You know what my wife was doing today while I was doing all this?
I don't know.
She was golfing.
Good for her.
That's what my wife was doing.
I think she had a better plan.
So I got to get up at the butt crack of dawn.
Did you videotape your kids swimming?
Of course I did.
Right, because that's all your wife needs to see.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to see the 4 hours of sitting around doing nothing.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
By the way, for parents out there that want the other parent just to videotape it, that's what the punishment should be. Yeah, I did videotape it. I videotaped all of it,
mm-hmm.
and you have to watch all of it.
right.
To understand
I'm not giving
pain.
You just the clip of our daughter.
Right. That's right. There's going to be a still camera for 3 hours of absolutely nothing to watch my daughter swim for 45 seconds.
Yes.
Well, that's too funny. You know, that must have been a lot of fun.
Oh,
I have been amazed, by the way, and I heard more talk about it today about the field day stuff. You know, I shot a little video, and I definitely was anti-field. I was the most bitter about field day because I lost the bet to you, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely a you were right, I was wrong sort of moment. And
I'm like, wake up, hello, you're betting me, you're going to lose.
So when I heard it, I was ticked, and I shot the video really seriously more upset that I lost this bet to you than anything else. And it was really kind of a tongue-in-cheek sort of moment, although I guess there's a degree of seriousness to it that, you know, this was a wasted opportunity. I have been blown away by the reaction to this on all sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had to think about, well, hold on a second. The stupid little video that I shot has a ridiculous amount of views. I mean, stupid amount of views. Our field day video. Now, I understand why that has a lot of views. It's funny as hell, and I think people should go watch it, especially because of the, you know, you and Zach's popsicles.
Right, when we tasted each other's popsicles.
Right.
Yeah.
So I had to think a little
bit. Great video. Go check it out.
I had to think a little bit more deeper, and then you and Stink more or less had the same viewpoint on it.
Okay.
However.
Smart dude.
Stokely in Orlando had an
Stokely not very smart.
An opposite view on it.
Orlando, you know, he surprises me sometimes with his wits, but clearly right now, not very smart.
Well, Orlando's take on it, I thought was actually pretty sophisticated and kind of compelling. Because he said, I'm not against field day if your team deserves it. If that's the culture of winning who you are. I reached out to Chad Brown, and he echoed somewhat of the same thing. Like, it sets the wrong tone based on who you are. So I really didn't put it in that kind of context. I was much more just upset about losing a bet to you. However, I thought it was – so I just want to run this past you a little bit because neither one of these guys – really has a problem with field day. I don't think anybody has a problem with a bonding event.
Well,
everybody
except for,
sees,
you know, D-Mac, Orlando Stokes, Zach. Yeah, but just like everybody else that had a problem yesterday, they kind of had a little bit of a problem.
Well, I don't, for the record, I don't have problems with bonding events. None at all. I think bonding events are critical for a team. You have to have some sort of element that puts you together as people to be a great team. I do believe that. I just think there's opportunities to do that sort of outside the very limited time that you're given to practice because the collective bargaining agreement has some incredibly strict rules about when and where you can actually do football activities. That's all. Like, for example, I think you could have done whatever you were going to do in practice and then simply had field day afterwards. So I'm not really inherently against it, but I know time is tight to make decisions. And I do have a little sympathy, and I get it. They probably weren't going to make the team anyway. But there's part of me that feels like, hey, man, there are guys that are in here for tryouts, undrafted guys. There are guys whose whole life is on the line. And I get how hard it is to, you know, make the team and ridiculous how it is. And I do understand.
It was a walkthrough. It was a walkthrough.
No, I get it. But
they missed a walkthrough. You think those kids were going to make the team based off the walkthrough?
Well, hold on. All right.
It was a walkthrough.
I don't want to get too thick in the weeds on it because I want to sort of branch off to something else. But like Max Duffy, the punter, it is a walkthrough. But he would have had a chance, one more chance.
He was already cut.
All right. Okay.
He was already cut. What do you mean?
Hey, cool. So that day just did not matter. That day does not matter at all.
Correct.
Okay. you know, I go down the wormhole then that if the day just doesn't matter, then why not just,
Well, the days that mattered were the days that you had 11-on-11 football, the days that you had even 7-on-7 football, the days that you were out there competing where you actually had a helmet on and you were playing football. But the day that you had the 50% walkthrough, that day did not matter.
All right, let's get off of me, because I was told by Nate Jackson if I use an exercise bike and I'm on a diet, I should not have an opinion. Nate Jackson made that incredibly clear. Mm. Are we having Nate on later? We are. Okay, cool. Yeah, by the way, everybody out there, according to Nate Jackson, if you work out and you're on a diet, you shouldn't have an opinion about professional athletes. Mm. Good to know. How would you respond then to Stoke and Orlando?
Also, if you wear cargo shorts.
That's right. That's right. So just for everybody to know.
You wear jorts underneath those?
What am I wearing today? They're kind of like golf shorts, I guess. Why do you think Stokely and Orlando have a difference of opinion on this?
I mean, honestly, they're just wrong. I don't know. I'm really shocked to hear that they've got a difference of opinion on it. I think that sometimes you lose touch a little bit. I think they probably lost touch on this one.
Wow.
I mean, this means nothing. It was a walkthrough that they missed out on. And I think that honestly, sometimes I wonder the people that were upset, did they really realize what was mandatory that day? And it was mandatory by the CBA that it was a walkthrough. They were not allowed to practice. So sometimes I do wonder, like, do you realize? And I heard Orlando this morning. I know that he knew, because he said that he thought that the walkthrough was just as important as practice. So he was aware. I'm just saying, generally speaking, some people that I would hear, I would wonder, do you understand what they really missed out on? I don't know. I think that your experience in the NFL probably dictates how you feel. Did you play on a team in which you had stuff like this, or did you play on a team in which it was all business? I played on both. I played in teams where it was all business. You would never do something like this, and your reward was Josh McDaniels bringing you an ice cream truck at the end of 2 days. I've been on teams in Atlanta, in Seattle, where Pete Carroll and Dan Quinn would have multiple field days per training camp. Multiple.
Well, that makes sense. Right? That actually does make sense. If it's a positive event, why just have one? You should have multiple if it's a good thing to do.
Sure. I mean, so I've been on both ends of the spectrum. I think that the one thing that gets over-talked about in this particular issue with the culture issue,
yeah,
is talking about how you were a bad team last year, so let's punish them. Well, hold on. First off, you've probably got 40% of the guys were not even on the team last year. They don't know. They don't even have any clue what happened last year. They weren't here. It's a new year. It's a new team. We're really going to punish them for something that happened last year over a walkthrough. That's what we're going to take away. And then I would say, okay, you know, Zach, Stoke, Orlando, they're the only guys that are missing their show next Thursday when we go out and play golf. So are they sitting there telling Raj that they want to skip golf and they want to do their show?
That you're hitting on another argument that I heard out there.
I mean, I'm being serious.
The leaders of the team should have refused it and insisted they practice.
So Stoke and Orlando, are you guys refusing to go golfing next Thursday? Or are you demanding to do your show? Or are you going to go out there and do a team bonding event?
I could make an argument. I could say, well, perhaps they may have a bigger problem with it if it was only a 3-day work week, but it's still a 5-day work week next week, and it's just one of five days.
Now it's only a 4-day work week.
But for them. I have a theory that I think you hit upon it. Where you played impacts how you sort of feel about it for the pro athletes that were sort of weighing in on this. And I don't think it was about the field day itself. And the one thing I heard is, do you really think this will impact – one day in June will impact the outcome of the season? Well, of course not. Of course it won't. But then again, you really can't identify any one day that will impact the season. There is no such thing as just one day that will have a dramatic impact, good or bad. Good or bad. It doesn't matter. However, the blowback and feedback I got out of that, hearing like Chad and Stokely and Orlando, was about who you are as a team and the culture and expectations of the team, which to me was really fascinating about how they were defining what it looks like to win.
Okay, so let me ask you this. When I got traded to Seattle, that was Pete Carroll's first year. That was a team that was terrible. Absolutely terrible. But the year before, and then the year that I got there, we won 7 games. We somehow made the playoffs. But you know what we did that year? Carnival all day long. Every day, almost all the time. We would have silly competitions. We would have free throw competitions. We would have slip and slides.
On a regular basis.
I wouldn't say on a regular basis, but, you know, a couple times a year, you would do something along these lines.
Did you know those were coming, or were they surprises to you?
Was that a sign of, no, we did not know it was coming.
Okay.
Was that a sign of a team that had a bad culture because they were bad the year before and because we only won 7 football games that year? Mm. Or was that creating the type of culture that they wanted for the future? Was that creating, setting the tone? Hey, fellas, you work hard, you're going to get rewarded. You know, it's been a good off season. Feel like you guys accomplished a lot, and I want you guys to have a little bit of fun. Let's celebrate.
It's like when The Office goes to the beach with Michael Scott, and really it's a big waste of time, but all of a sudden Pam does the fire walk near the end, and somehow she gains some sort of confidence, meaning that maybe it's meaningless for most, it doesn't matter, but perhaps it sinks in with somebody for some reason, who knows. It's hard to determine, and I don't know what else you were sacrificing in order to do that. Now, at the end of the day, if you want to really tell me, no, you're getting this all wrong. This really is way more important. I would make the argument to you, hey, cool, when's the next one? Like, because,
Because when you're in training camp, that's a whole lot easier to give up, or that's a whole lot more difficult to give up a day in training camp of work than it is to give up the last day of minicamp that was a walkthrough. Now we're talking about, this is work time, it's go time. You didn't have a choice but to have a walkthrough yesterday. So if you're ever going to pick a day to give up a day of work, you pick a day in which you were barely going to do any work anyways.
Okay.
It was a guaranteed half day, right? That's the day that you chose rather than giving up the actual work days in which you are grinding.
So it's a betterment for the culture of the team to do what they did yesterday as opposed to do the walkthrough or have a combination of a walkthrough and the field day.
See, and that's where I think that we digress a little bit. I'm not sitting here arguing that the field day was a betterment for the team. I'm not saying that they accomplished more than they would have in a walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying it was a fun day. It was field day.
Mm-hmm.
If you're grumpy about it, fine. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. I don't get grumpy about field day, right? And so I'm not saying that they accomplished more by doing that, but I'm definitely telling you that they didn't mess up with anything. They're not losing out on anything.
Were you surprised by Stokely and Orlando having that opinion then?
I did not hear Stokely's. Orlando's did surprise me. Yeah, it did surprise me.
Orlando did throw the Peyton Manning thing out there, too.
But what does that mean?
It's kind of like, what would Peyton Manning do? And Orlando said, there's no way Peyton Manning would, you know, want a field day. He threw that out there. I've heard that argument a million times about the whole, you know, what would Peyton Manning do sort of concept if Peyton was at the top of the ladder? But Peyton was a grinder, man. Peyton was, what am I telling you for? Peyton, it appeared to me that Peyton was all business all the time.
Except for every Thursday when you take you out and
afterwards.
Right.
Practice.
I mean,
in practice, I mean,
there's time for work and then there's time for play.
Okay. I think the concept of culture to winning is amazing and fascinating. I heard Mike Evans comment about that too. And I think the reason why that got the response that it has over the past 24 hours, Tyler, is there's just this crazy divide amongst Broncos country about who this team is and their frustrations with where it's gone and what are the best ways to move it forward. And I think that's what it's really all about. I really don't think it's about Drew Lock hitting 3-pointers or something like that.
By the way, did you watch that video?
Of him draining?
Drew Lock is ridiculous.
Are you kidding
from
me?
Beyond the arc.
I thought it was, did he warm up?
I mean, it was like, that was the most smooth shot I've ever seen. Just swish, 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 boom.
He's got a shot against Zach Bye.
Oh, yes. Right. No, he would dominate.
The craziest fantasy football punishment ever? Maybe. And could this be something we're looking to do? Details in the water cooler next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe. including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
All right, Tyler, did you catch this? Rocky's sneaky good dude, by the way. Won 4 in a row, going for 5 in a row tonight.
Boom!
What, man? Look out for them Rockies.
Well, you got your Red Sox jersey on today?
Just kind of random.
Huh?
No thoughts behind it, no purpose behind it. Just like...
Well, you do have a Red Sox tattoo, so it makes sense that you would rep the Red Sox.
I haven't worn this one in a while. This is one of the couldn't fit into it for a long time sort of shirt. Now it's kind of like probably a little too big. But so at the game last night, which the Rockies won, some craziness happened on the scoreboard. I mean, it was one of the most epic fails of all time. And Richie's done a great job pointing it out. In fact, I'll take a picture of this and tweet it out about all the mistakes that were made on the scoreboard.
I got a problem with our scoreboard operator. I got to have a little talk with him. I'm not sure what he's doing.
Dude. So Manny Machado's up to the plate. But they're showing a guy from the Angels. Well, first of all, Manny Machado's not up. They're playing the Brewers. So, I mean, I don't even know what to say here. There is a Brewers logo, but a Diamondbacks lineup. Manny Machado plays for the Padres, and the photo is a guy from the Angels.
There is so much more than just that, though. I mean, you have just barely started to scratch the surface. Now you go over to the Rockies lineup, and you look at the lineup. They've got Nolan Arenado playing third base. We've got five strikes, two balls. I'm not quite sure how you pull that one off. I mean, goodness, there's a bad day at work. Then they're showing up drunk. how in the world does this happen?
Now, you could understand maybe like it was a game from last year that was loaded in by accident, I guess. But there's so many other weird discrepancies in here. Richie, what? Yeah, what do you want to throw in there, Richie?
Well, it shows the Brewers logo on the left-hand side of the photo. But if you look at the lineup below that, next to the photo of Andrelton Simmons, who plays for the Angels, that's the Arizona Diamondbacks lineup. So you have the Brewers logo with the Diamondbacks lineup with the photo of an Angels player and the name of a San Diego Padre. And if you look at the batting averages, because I did check this, if you look at the batting averages in the Diamondbacks lineup, those aren't even the correct current batting averages for those Diamondbacks players.
Well, I would guess it's...
Escobar's hitting 087, huh?
I mean, I'm going to guess it was something from last year that got loaded in. But
I don't think that's true. I mean, was this lineup ever together last year?
I don't know. I mean, it is hard to imagine an epic fail of this proportion.
Did you ever have five strikes and one at bat?
And then it didn't stop there. Later on, it's Garrett Hampson is at the plate. And who is that? It's Marquez is on the screen.
So, actually, Tapia was up to bat. It says Garrett Hampson's name on the screen.
Sorry, my bad.
And a photo of Airman Marquez.
Tapia's at the plate. On the screen, it's Garrett Hampson, and the picture is Marquez.
Yeah.
This, you know what? I know what happened.
You do?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I do. Y2K finally hit the Rockies' computers.
I got a problem with our scoreboard operator. I got to have a little talk with him. I'm not sure what he's doing.
Yeah, we'll send out those pictures with the corrections. Good job, Richie, finding them all. That is crazy. It's like a Where's Waldo of mistakes.
That was like the back of the cereal box.
Right.
You're supposed to find all of the issues.
Right, circle all the bad pictures, you know, what's not in these photos. There's a fantasy football punishment, and we got to talk about if we want to do this. Now, we would like to raise as much money as possible for the fans match challenge, right? The match two. And so the fun part of it for us, because none of the shows are doing anything fun. I mean, none of them are doing anything fun. They're just asking for your money, and I don't, you know.
I mean, why would they reward you in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah. But the punishment comes to us, not to somebody else. Mm. And it's all in good fun. And so if you do donate and you donate to us, something fun will come out of it. You donate to the other shows, you'll just hear about how awesome they are. Because that's all they want to talk about is how great they are and how they're going
to
win.
So what am I going to have to do?
Well, we don't really know yet. And we're open for suggestions. We got a lot of great suggestions yesterday. But let's throw this one into the mix. Lee Sanderlin, an investigative and political reporter for the Clarion Ledger in Jackson, Mississippi, came in last place in his fantasy football league. His punishment was to spend 24 consecutive hours in a Waffle House. And the only way he could shave off time was to eat a waffle. Every waffle he ate wiped away 1 hour.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, this one.
What do you mean? No problem. I can crush 24 waffles in a minute.
Right. That doesn't seem that hard to me.
I'll put a coffee bet on that.
Really?
Well, okay. I mean, a minute. All right. Give me a timeline. Give me a realistic timeline. And I mean, I'll accept.
When was the last time you had Waffle House waffles?
What about
a while? It's been a long while.
I mean, they're the size of your head, for one.
Okay.
They're dense, and they expand in your stomach.
Okay. I mean, I'm not saying it's good for me. I'm not saying that I'm going to feel good. I'm just saying that if I could cut an hour off for each waffle, at bare minimum, I could eat 24 in 6 hours.
This guy could only get 9 waffles
probably 3 hours.
Yeah, when I first read this, I was like, what's the big deal? Like, why couldn't you just eat? Really? It's that big of a deal to eat a Waffle House waffle?
Well, it's like putting a donut in front of your face and asking D-Mac to eat a donut. And he's like, oh, I can't eat this donut. I might die if I eat a donut.
Well, I can eat it, obviously. I've obviously eaten a lot of donuts over the years. I mean, I can do it. Waffles? I mean, it wouldn't be my first choice for sure, but I think I could do it.
In the afternoon.
Yeah.
All night.
This does not seem hard at all.
This does not seem hard.
No.
We're going to Waffle House. You guys are wrong.
I mean, you got to give me like a real reason to do this. I don't want to go eat 24 waffles.
Well, Richie's saying we got to sample like a waffle to see how hard this really is to do.
I mean, next bet we have, I just want to make that the bet between you and I, that you got to eat 24 waffles.
I don't really think that's a big deal.
I don't either.
I mean, I mean, look at what I used to look like. Do you think eating anything was a big deal? I mean, choosing not to eat something and the ability to eat it is a whole different thing.
24 in 24 hours?
Doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
Child, please.
Right. All right, well, let's look at that.
At least go 2-1. I mean, if you want to knock off a whole hour of the punishment, it's got to be 2 waffles to every hour.
So if you've got any, let's keep that in our back pocket. That's a little experiment, perhaps, how difficult it is to. I mean, can we possibly get a Waffle House waffle here before the end of the show, Richie?
Oh, there you go.
Does that possibility exist?
Oh, somebody out there, can you bring us a Waffle House waffle?
Yeah.
Would you actually eat it?
Sure.
Huh?
Sure.
Because you wouldn't eat a donut the other day, but now you're going to eat a Waffle House waffle.
I was too uptight on that. It was National Donut.
I cannot believe that Richie went and bought us donuts and you wouldn't eat the stinking donut.
I gotcha.
And you wonder why you're mad about field day. You wouldn't eat a donut.
I get you.
But if you ate the donut, you would have been okay with field day.
Hey, bring the waffle in. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. That's all. I think it's like you said, I'm agreeing with you. It can't be that hard to do. Is there a Waffle House nearby? Do we even have, is there somewhere where a Waffle House is?
There's one in Parker I know of.
All right. I mean, this could not be that hard to pull off before the end of the show. Somehow we'll screw it up, but it doesn't seem like it's that complicated. But we'll keep it in mind. If you have suggestions for us for a punishment, hey, let it rip. 303-713-1043. We're raising money for the match challenge. We would love to have you donate to us because we'll do something. We're going to lose. Ask anybody. They'll tell you how bad we are. But at least, you know, we could possibly win this particular thing, Tyler, and have some fun at it. Michelob Ultra presents the Fans Match Challenge, powered by the CoBank Colorado Open, benefiting the First Tee Green Valley Ranch. All right, Nate Jackson, He had a you didn't play the game moment on Twitter. He knows better.
I love those moments.
He had a you didn't play the game moment. He'll join us next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Man.
Dude, we're getting some major pushback about the waffle challenge.
Yeah, they're pretty weak-minded. I mean, seriously, if you think you can eat 10 waffles in 10 hours, you're a pretty weak-minded human being. Someone get us a waffle. Can someone deliver us a waffle?
I just don't think it's that big of a deal. But what is a big deal? Here's what's a big deal.
Cargo shorts.
If you played the game or if you didn't play the game. And if you played the game, there's no doubt you know more than somebody that didn't play the game. Nate Jackson on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. I got to be right on that, right, Nate?
Pretty correct on that statement. You're off to a good start here.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because with a very veiled, not very cleverly veiled attack on me earlier today on Twitter.
He's been hanging out with Cecil.
Well, you think that was about you, do you know?
You comment about somebody who wears cargo shorts, talks about their diet, and gets on an exercise bike.
is that what you're saying you do? Do you do those three things?
I mean, I own cargo shorts.
Yes.
I hope I don't endlessly talk about my diet. You said for hours.
You do.
And then the exercise bike. I mean, I ride a road bike on a trainer sometimes. I just pictured you talking about that. It came across that you were talking. Well, were you not talking about me, or were you talking about me?
No, I was talking about a general sentiment amongst a lot of my colleagues that I heard. Many of them wear cargo shorts. Many of them have been on diets, and many of them get on exercise bikes. You're not the only one. But you do personify all three of those quite tidily.
Right, you could have been. You know what? You could have been talking about Orlando Franklin, who wears cargo shorts, has been on a massive diet, and does have a much nicer, you know, he's got the Peloton. He's up on a different level than I am, for sure. But, you know, Orlando did not have a problem. Orlando did have a problem with it. Tyler doesn't have a problem with it, and you don't. So what were we getting so wrong? What were me, Stokely, Orlando, Zach, what were we missing?
Well, you're saying that because they went 5-11 last year, because they struggled in years past, that they do not deserve.
Well, that was Orlando. I just to be fair, I didn't actually say that. Orlando said it. So, but go ahead, talk to Orlando.
What was your reasoning? Well, you're the culture, right? You want to establish a culture.
That was Chad Brown that kind of came up with that culture.
Timak was just mad because he doesn't like fun. I mean, he just doesn't like fun. Okay. He's anti-fun.
My reason is boring.
There's the party guys, then there's the guys sitting at the back of the party. They're going to have the wine and cheese and, you know, go home at 8 o'clock at night. Right?
My big reason was you get a select time, according to the CBA, to do football type of activities on the field.
You get a select time to have a walkthrough on Sunday.
That's it. That was my thing. But go ahead.
Okay, so, yeah, there's a lot of reasons that you guys have given. I would say that having a losing season last year doesn't change the importance of camaraderie this year. And, in fact, I'd say that last year highlights the lack of it. Last season, they didn't have a field day, did they? They didn't get any bones thrown their way because they were locked up.
Yeah, they didn't have anything.
Right, socially distanced, unable to come together as a team, and that showed on the field. In fact, all they did was Zoom meetings and then football practice and went home. They weren't able to do the stuff off the field or even at the facility, eating dinner together, eating lunch together that actually brings teams together. All they did was the football practice routine stuff. And that is only one side of the coin, D-Mac. That can't be all you have.
Were you ever on a team that had rewards like this? I mean, I know I was. I was on good teams and I was on bad teams that had rewards like this. I never associated it towards the culture, but I'm curious your experience because my only explanation was Zach and Stoke, or excuse me, Orlando and Stoke. Maybe their experience, they just didn't have any coaches that had fun. I just can't figure it out. What was your experience like?
Yeah, so my experience in the NFL, my 6 years that I was with the Denver Broncos, Mike Shanahan did something like this every year. It was the last practice of minicamp.
Usually bowling, right?
Right. We didn't do field day. We went bowling.
Yeah.
So we'd be at in our team meeting. We'd be spatted up. We'd be in our uniform or our practice gear. And he'd say, the buses are rolling outside. We're going bowling.
Oh, buses! Yeah.
And we'd run, you know, we'd go in chains and we'd get in the buses and go bowling. Like, that last day of practice anyway, that's the last day of school. I know we're talking about this like it's a real important day. You pointed out, it was a walkthrough, man. Nothing happens at a walkthrough. Absolutely zilch. So the fact they forewent, I don't know what that word is, but the fact that they didn't do that and instead played around together. I watched a video on their website. They had a lot of fun, man. These guys are getting to know each other. They're becoming a family. That's how you do it. I'll tell you one more story about the other side of the coin there. When I was in college, my junior year, we had a really talented team. We started off 2-0, but then we lost 4 straight games, nail biters. Mm. We were doing all the right things, but for some reason it wasn't clicking. And so we came in for practice during week 7, and our coach told us, you know what, today we're going to switch it up. We're going to pick teams and play flag football against each other, but you have to play a different position. So linemen were playing receiver. Kickers were on defense. Quarterbacks were playing safety. It was really fun. It was chaotic. It was silly. And then we won our next 4 straight games to finish the season. Field days are not about rewarding a successful team, in my opinion. They're about creating a balance on your team so that you will be successful. It's not about who practices the most.
I don't even know what to put him on the spot about because I feel like this is your interview, buddy. I mean, I just agree pretty much with everything he said.
Well, this is just a contrary opinion to Stokely and to Orlando more than a contrary opinion to mine. Nate was just taking shots on me in particular because, you know, I didn't play the game and I have cargo shorts.
Are you not included in their opinion? Are you not under the same belief? How are we deflecting onto them at this point?
Well, because I clearly don't have the value of their opinion because I have cargo shorts. Talk about a diet and I have an exercise bike.
Yeah. Well, that is true. I mean, I'm glad you finally understand.
All right.
Well, like D-Mac, to put it in terms that we can understand here, if I were to tell you all the intricacies of the Ipswich half marathon, would you take it for face value or would you be like, shut up, you've never done that, you don't know what you're talking about?
Whoa, that's so funny you bring that up. That's such an inside thing right there. Although you can follow my adventures on Twitter, that's for sure. No, I get it. Listen, and I think maybe people think that I don't believe in team bonding or doing fun stuff together. I definitely do.
Nate, do you expect Zach and Orlando, who will have to skip their show next Thursday when we've got our fan match challenge, would you expect them to opt out of the fan match challenge and demand to do their show?
Yeah, I heard you make that point, and I think it's a valid one. I think if they actually cared about their jobs and wanted to be the best, then they would. They wouldn't go golfing.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Sorry, boss. I got a job to do today. I don't want to have fun.
Yeah. No way. No way. Not a million years.
Thank you. And by the way, Nate was on a team that went to the AFC Championship game. I don't know. Listen, man, I think if you got talented guys, you probably are going to succeed. I think yesterday was kind of a push. I don't think it did anything bad. I don't think it did anything good. I think the guys hang out plenty together. I do think it was a unique opportunity for the coaches to hang out in a social way with the players. I'm guessing, and I'd have to ask you guys, I'm guessing that doesn't happen very often. I'm guessing the guys get together all the time, but the coaches don't get together with the guys in a social
way.
That's
true. Sure, that's definitely
true. Yeah, I'll tell you, one of the most fun parts about the bowling was that, like, so you bowl 2 games, they take the top 10 guys on offense, the top 10 guys on defense, and the top 10 coaches, and they put them face-to-face-to-face in one last frame. So each guy would bowl one frame. And so when the coaches were bowling, and we'd have a couple beers in us by this time, we were taunting the coaches, lining the lane, and just, like, really in their ear. For the first time ever, we're able to flip the script and really get in their face.
Hmm.
And it kind of was able to blur the lines and create some common ground that you don't usually get with a normal football schedule.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Nate. I appreciate it. And I appreciate
the D-Mac. I'm just busting your, you know.
Oh, I know. I shot back with an ugly video of my legs just to get on you. But
yeah, that was quite ugly.
Yeah, there you go. Nate Jackson on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Meanwhile, how Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater spend their off time, what will it matter? We'll hear from them next.